Cheers. Wow, vodka. Amazing. How are we doing? Okay? Good. Great to be here with you at Edinburgh Ealing. And as Gwen said, my name's Gary. What's yours? You've forgotten your names. That's a great start. Never mind. We'll get going. Just want to say as we dive in this morning that you know that the Ealing Pentecostal Churches in the UK is about 550 churches. I don't mean five. I mean 500 to 550 churches around the United Kingdom right now. God's doing some amazing things through our tribe. We're only part of the body of Christ. We understand that. Fantastic to hear the way the churches in Edinburgh work together, you know, on the turning. And I know over the years you've done things together with Try Praying. Is that right? And various other initiatives. And that's wonderful, because how many of you know that God loves that unity stuff? Amen. He loves it when we love each other and we honor each other and respect each other and all that sort of thing. So that's fantastic. But I did want to say as well, because you may not know this, how much we appreciate Gordon within the United Kingdom Church, the Ealing Churches. He's quite well known. I was going to say you're quite notorious. Quite well known around the place, not just because of what he does in serving the Ealing churches in Scotland, but his involvement with Empower, our men's movement, and just the guy that he is. You know, over the years that I've known Gordon and Heather, it's been my privilege to get to know them. And I always think about Gordon as being like Nathaniel. Jesus called him a true Israelite, in whom there's no guile. What you see is what you get. He's an authentic man, isn't he? And that's a wonderful thing. I feel like I'm in the right place at the right time this morning, because a lot of our singing to Jesus this morning has been about his power. And I want to talk about that this morning. I want to talk about the power of Jesus Christ, if that's okay. And as we get towards the end of our service, what I'm believing is that the Lord Jesus, because he's alive, that he would want to demonstrate his power and his aliveness, as it were. He's at the beginning of Acts of the Apostles, where Luke writes that after his resurrection, Jesus gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. Many convincing proofs that he was alive. And he's still in that business. He's still in that business. So some years ago, I get to travel all over the United Kingdom in my role. And I've been abroad as well, the Isle of Wight. And some time ago, I was invited to speak at a church down in a place called Surrey. Anybody ever been to Surrey? Or as they would say, Surrey. Because Surrey is very posh. A bit like Edinburgh, really. Last week, I was west of Glasgow. I was in Greenock and Erskine and Paisley, and they were saying, "You lot are posh, but you look all right to me." So anyway, I'm going down to Surrey to speak, and so Sunday morning I jump in the car, I'm driving down there, and I'm going to a place called Cheam, you know, Cheam, which is very posh apparently. And I arrived at the church I was speaking at, and I'm sitting in the church building, sitting next to the pastor. And they had the churches, it wasn't tiered like this, it was all on one level. And they had the churches in like a horseshoe shape, so everybody could see each other across the room. So I'm sitting next to the pastor, and the band is just playing in the background. We haven't officially started, but I'm just looking around, seeing who's there. And I look across the room, and I see this man. And I nudged the pastor, and I said, "Hey." He said, "Yeah." I said, "You see that bloke over there?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "He's the spitting image of Alan Mullery." Now then, who knows who Alan Mullery is? Oh, there you go. Are you from Surrey? Okay. You wouldn't necessarily know who he is, okay? But Alan Mullery, back in the late 60s and early 70s, he was the captain of Tottenham Hotspur, and before that, Fulham, and also captain the England football team. He was like the Steven Gerrard of the England football team, you know, back in those days, a top player. And So I said to the pastor, I said, that guy over there, he looks just like Alan Mullery. Because Alan Mullery, when I was a kid, he was one of my heroes. I'm really into football, you know. And the pastor said to me, oh, do you know why he looks like Alan Mullery? I said, no. He said, it is Alan Mullery. This is his church. This is where he comes with his wife. And I went all hot and cold at the same time, you know. I felt like a little kid aged about 7 again. So I went, really? He said, yeah. I said, introduce me. So we walked across the church, and the pastor said to him, he said, Alan, this is Gary. He's speaking for us this morning, and he just wanted to say hello. So Alan said, oh, hi, Gary. Nice to meet you again. Hello, Alan. Nice to meet you as well. You know, amazing. And, I mean, this is the guy who was scored one of the top 100 goals in the 20th century, according to Channel 4, which always tells the truth. Alan was the first England player ever to get sent off in an international against Yugoslavia for kicking one of the other players in a very sensitive place. And you know, he was like, he's in the Guinness Book of Records as scoring the fastest own goal in football history. I mean, it was a muddy day, and he was passing it back to the keeper to have a touch, and the keeper was kicking the mud off his boots against the upright. The ball went in the net. And here I am meeting him. Now, here's the thing. I'd always believed that Alan Mullery existed. I mean, I had my Shoot 1972 football annual. Some of you haven't got a dicky bird of a clue what I'm talking about, have you? Okay, never mind. It's all right. But now I've actually met him, and actually, not just on that one-off occasion, but over the next few years, we got to know each other, because he's got the most fantastic stories. He's a good preacher, and, you know, he's a Sky Sports pundit these days, or he was. I don't know if he's still on Sky Sports at the minute. I don't subscribe to Sky Sports, sadly. It's my wife's fault. And, you know, I mean, he became a good friend. Now, in a similar way, I don't know why you're here this morning. Maybe you're here because this is your church and you're a regular here at Edinburgh Elim Church. It could be that this is your very first time here. It could be that you've been following Jesus for decades like me, okay? It could be that you're still on that journey towards meeting Jesus for the first time, have an encounter with Jesus for the very first time in your life. But whatever your story, how many of you know that with the Lord, there's always more of him to experience. There's always more of him to encounter, okay? So you could be here this morning, and maybe, yeah, you believe that there was a Jesus of Nazareth in history, and, you know, you've heard some of those stories about him, but he's never become a living reality in your experience. Well, I've got good news this morning. Before you leave church this morning, if you're up for it, that could all change in the most wonderful way. But even if you've been following Jesus for a long, long time, even if you've been like me, you've been around the block a few times. Anybody else? I know there is, because I'm looking at you. unless you're 25 and you've had a really hard life. A number of us have been around the block a few times, but there's always more. There's more of him. And that's what I want to share with you this morning, about encountering the power of Jesus, experiencing the power of Jesus. Let's dive into the Bible. And let's read a story of one man's encounter with the Lord Jesus that changed everything for him. This is in Luke chapter 5, and we're going to read from verse 16. I know some people bring Bibles with them to church, or you've got it on your smartphone, and you want to follow it, that's fine. If not, don't worry, I'm going to read it anyway. So here we go, Luke 5, 16. One day, Jesus was teaching, and Pharisees and teachers of the law were sitting there. Now, by the way, many of you will know that Pharisees and teachers of the law, they were like the religious people of Jesus' day, okay? The religious leaders. How many of you know that following Jesus does not make you religious? How many of you know that being religious is horrible and boring and a waste of space? Yeah. So for us as followers of Jesus, we're not religious, but we are in this friendship, this relationship with God. But these were the religious people, the leaders, the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. And they're sitting there. They had come, these guys, had come from every village of Galilee and from Judea and Jerusalem. There was a lot of them there. And the power of the Lord was with Jesus to heal the sick. Some men came carrying a paralyzed man on a mat, and they tried to take him into the house to lay him before Jesus. When they couldn't find a way to do this because of the crowd, they went upon the roof and they lowered him on his mat through the tiles into the middle of the crowd right in front of Jesus. When Jesus saw their faith, he said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." Now, the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, remember them, the religious people, they began thinking to themselves, "Who is this fellow who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Because religious people are also southerners and posh. I'm joking. It's a joke. Don't get offended so easily. Jesus knew what they were thinking. And he asked, "Why are you thinking these things in your hearts? Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up and walk? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." So he said to the paralyzed man, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." Immediately, he stood up in front of them, took what he'd been lying on, and went home, praising God. Everyone was amazed and gave praise to God. They were filled with awe and said, "We have seen remarkable things today." And ladies and gentlemen, because the Bible also tells us that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, then there's all the potential in the world for us to see remarkable things this morning. Because even though you can't see him, even though you can't reach out and touch him physically, Jesus is with us this morning. He promised where two or three are gathered together in his name, he'd be right there. And by his Holy Spirit, he presences himself in our midst today to do remarkable things in our lives. So let me this morning offer you three invitations to you personally, three invitations, or if you will, three challenges, and let me invite you to RSVP, to respond to these challenges in your own situation, in your own life, in your own heart this morning. And the first is this: it's an invitation to experience the power of Jesus. Do you remember it said that the power of the Lord was with Jesus on that day? Experience the power of Jesus to heal you. To heal you, okay? That's what was going on in this story. Paralyzed man being healed. There's a woman called Jackie Dibley. Jackie lives in Newbury down in Berkshire, goes to an Elim church in that town. And some time ago now, she went to church on a Sunday morning, or she was taken to church because Jackie had been suffering some very debilitating illnesses for quite a while. She had osteoarthritis. She'd had it for 15 years, and actually the bits between the bones in the vertebrae, what are they called again?
Discs.
Yeah, the discs that were all disintegrating. And so she'd had that for 15 years, and for the previous 10 years, she'd also been suffering with fibromyalgia, you know, which is horrible. You know, you can't bear being touched when it's really bad. And for the previous 2 years up until this time, she'd also had this trapped nerve at the back of her right leg that caused her to be in constant pain. She had actually been on disability living allowance now for 10 years. She'd been effectively medically retired from work. And actually, the disability living people had said, "Don't bother coming back, Jackie, because you're going to be on this for the rest of your life." It meant that she spent a lot of time in a wheelchair. Occasionally she could get up on, you know, these crutches that grab you around the forearm. You know, she could get up on those sometimes and go little distances, but that was about it. And because of the condition, you know, she had a big hump on the top of her neck there. Just not good at all. So that particular morning she was in church in Newbury, and the pastor was away on holiday, so there was a young man who was sharing from the front. How many of you know that often God does amazing things when the pastor's away? What's that all about, mate? What's that? Do you want to go and have a coffee? I'm kidding.
I'm good.
So a young guy is speaking, and he was speaking from one of the stories in the Gospels about Jesus healing. I don't know which one it was. But at the end of his sermon, he said, well, we're going to sing a final song to the Lord. And if you want prayer this morning, why don't you come forward for prayer? We're going to do that this morning as well here. And so Jackie thought, well, I'll go forward. The reason why she wanted to go forward was because all that week she'd had a really bad cough. And she also had a sty developing on one of her eyes. So she thought, I'll go forward for prayer for this cough and this sty. So she came forward. I'm not sure if she was in a wheelchair or if she was on her crutches at that point. And some folks from the church came to stand with her and to pray with her. Over the course of the next few minutes, the Lord Jesus healed Jackie of her cough. And the sty disappeared from the side of her eye. The osteoarthritis completely left her body. And the fibromyalgia left, never to return. And her pain in the back of her right leg disappeared as well. So at the end of the service, she pushed her wheelchair home. So that's pretty cool, isn't it? Yeah, hallelujah. So it's not the end of the story, because Jackie had carers, you know, to help her out of bed in the morning and to help her get to bed at night. So, and her daughter was one of her carers. So on Monday morning, her daughter appeared to get her out of bed, and Jackie's waiting for her with a cup of tea at the door, because she's totally well, totally straight. All the pain's gone. She's fine. She doesn't need crutches. She doesn't need the wheelchair. So on the Tuesday, Jackie decided that she should go and see her GP. You know, she'd been under the care of the local doctors for years. So, and apparently this is what happened. Jackie walks into the GP's office, a female GP sitting there, and the GP nearly fell off her chair. And she looked at Jackie and said, what has happened to you? And so Jackie told her the story. And then Jackie said to her, look, to the GP, you're not looking well. Do you need some water? And the GP said, I need something stronger than water. And I wish I'd remembered to bring it with me up from down south, but I've got the letter, a photocopy of the letter written by the GP to the disability living people, saying, you know, that for years, Jackie Dibley had presented herself at the surgery with all these conditions and been under treatment. But now I've examined her from, I forget what the medical language, but from head to toe, can't find anything wrong with her, and therefore she should be signed off disability living allowance because she's perfectly able to work. Yeah, isn't that wonderful? That was the Tuesday. The next Sunday, her daughter, who wasn't following Jesus, her daughter, the carer, one of the carers, went to church with her mom because she thought, I've got to find out more about this. And during the church service, her daughter wept and wept and wept and wept, and ended up by the end of the service weeping her way to Jesus and becoming a follower of Jesus, which of course is the biggest miracle of all, even bigger than what happened to Jackie, actually, even bigger. Isn't that great?
Yes.
So you see, Jesus, he's still the Lord that heals us. He's still in that business.
Yes.
Let me just back up very quickly because I need to say this. Thank God for the NHS. Thank God for the NHS. Thank God for doctors and nurses and physios and anaesthetists and, you know, all those sort of people. Because my guess would be, and it's an educated guess, that there is not one person here this morning who has not been helped by medics at some point in your life, even if it was simply because you were born once, you know. So thank God for the NHS. And you know, as a Christian minister, I believe that God uses all those medical people, you know, to do amazing things in our lives, to keep us well or to enhance our lives in various ways. And I believe God uses them. But what I'm talking about right now is something a bit different. I'm talking about when God chooses to intervene in our lives in a supernatural way.
Yes.
Yeah, and to do in an instant or to incredibly speed up what otherwise would take a long time or may never happen. Are you with me? Okay, so we're not knocking the medics at all. We're saying thank God for them. But we're talking about something else that God might do for you this morning. Just one more story. I was just down, not far from here, actually, in the northeast of England a couple of weeks ago, speaking at one of our churches. And this man, you have to excuse me for this, but this man walked up to me and he said, hi, Gary. nice to see you again. I'd been at this church a few years ago. And he said one word to me. He said, hemorrhoids. I thought, well, that's a nice greeting. I said, pardon? He said hemorrhoids. He said, I don't know if you remember. He said, about 3 years ago, you were here speaking. And at the end of the meeting, you were praying for anyone who was sick. And I came forward because I had this severe problem with hemorrhoids. And fortunately, I didn't lay hands on you. So did I just say that? Okay, so did that come out of my mouth? Sorry, Gordon. And so apparently I prayed for this man, and he'd been suffering severely. And if you've ever had that particular issue, many people do. I mean, it can be very debilitating. And he went home afterwards. This had been going on in his life for a long, long time. And he'd been totally healed. Totally healed. The condition totally removed and all the pain gone. And he said, no recurrence in the last 3 years. He said, thank God for what he did that day. So in one sense, it's like what Jackie went through was something really, really major. And what this gentleman went through, bad for him, but was something perhaps seen as a bit more minor. But you know, God is the God of the miraculous in all sorts of different situations. Yeah. And so that opportunity this morning to experience the power of Jesus healing you because he's in our midst. The Bible says no matter how many promises God has made, they are all yes in Christ Jesus, which means that Jesus is God's positive answer to whatever issues we face in life. I was thinking as we were singing our songs to the Lord earlier and worshiping Jesus and some of the things that Gordon was talking about, I was thinking about that story when Jesus fed the 5,000. And I mean, massive problem or challenge. You've got all these people to feed and all you've got is 5 cobs and 2 sardines. I don't know what do you call them in Scotland? Roll. Yeah, we call them cobs where I come from. 5 rolls and 2 sardines and all these people. And what does the Lord do? If you know the story, he takes them and he sees the problem or the challenge in front of him, and he looks away from the challenge to the answer. He looks up to heaven and he thanks God for what's there. That thing we were singing about, you know, in the midst of battle. Many of these songs were new to me this morning. I thought they were great. But in the midst of our battle, you know, we worship and we look up. We look away from the challenge, away from the problem, away from the issue in our lives to the one who's got all the answers. No matter how many promises he's made, they are all yes in Christ Jesus. And I guess that's what I'm asking you to do this morning. Not to look inwards, but to look upwards. Look to the one who has all power, authority in himself and who loves people like you and me and can marry those two things together to do the miraculous in our lives. So that's the first invitation, to experience the power of Jesus bringing his healing to touch our bodies. The second thing out of this story is this. The opportunity that we have to experience the power of Jesus to bring forgiveness to us. Yeah. To bring forgiveness to us. Just imagine, if you will, can you imagine this morning that you had been there on that day when this happened? And you were in that house, all crammed in there, again, like sardines. I mean, so many of you in there because you wanted to listen to this amazing teacher, Jesus of Nazareth. And as you're in there listening to him with rapt attention, suddenly there's a noise above your head. A sort of chip, 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 chip noise going on. And then the sunlight bursts through the roof and the roof's been ripped off. By the way, you know the guy who lent the house to Jesus for the meeting? What do you think he was thinking at that moment? You know, oh my goodness. You know, what are the Jerusalem Building Society going to make of this? You know, the roof's been ripped off. And this guy is being lowered down on his mat through the hole that's been ripped in the roof, down in front of Jesus, and we're looking at him. Now, as you look at this man on the floor, what would you say was his number one need? Yeah, it's not rocket science. It's not a trick question. What does he need? He needs healing. Yeah? The guy's paralyzed. And so, isn't it astonishing? Isn't it remarkable? The first thing that Jesus says to him. In fact, listen to this. The first thing Jesus says to the man is this: friend. Friend. It's the first word he wants you to hear this morning. Friend. I'll tell you why it's remarkable. Because actually, the way that we've lived in the past, we haven't been his friend. We haven't. God says, hey, I want you to live your life in this direction. I want you to live your life in friendship with me. I want you to walk hand in hand with me. I want you to know my presence, my love, my goodness, my power at work in your life. God says, come this way. And each one of us, at some point in our life, we've said, okay, God, you want me to go that way with you, right? Okay. And we've walked off in totally the opposite direction. We've effectively said, God, get lost. I don't want to do your thing. I don't want to please you. I don't want you to make to be the source of my decision making. I want to please myself. I want to do my own thing. I want to live my own life. So the Bible says that actually we're rebels against God. And actually we're enemies of God because of the way that we've made ourselves his enemies because we've walked our own way. It's the major reason why the world is in such a mess. Because in the Bible words, we're all like sheep. We've all gone astray. Each one has turned to his own way. And instead of living, the best way to live in God's world is God's way. And we haven't done that. But in spite of that, in spite of all of our rebellion, in spite of our ignoring God and his ways in our lives, God looks at you this morning. The Lord Jesus looks at you this morning and he says, friend, friend. And then he says, your sins. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. My sins. You ever had that moment in your life, often when you're just quiet on your own, perhaps, and it's as if someone's reached into your brain and pressed the play button on the DVD player in your head. And that DVD begins to play again of something that happened in your history. Something that you are actually ashamed of. Something that you wished had never happened. Maybe it was something you did that was unworthy of a person like you. Maybe just some words that spilled out of your mouth that were so hurtful or untrue. And we should never have said it, but it happened. And you can't take them back in. Or a situation. A situation that you got yourself into. And now you live with the regret and the guilt and the shame of that situation. And even though it could be decades ago or years ago, it could have been last week, who knows, but the DVD plays again and your heart sinks. And the Lord Jesus, the living Lord Jesus, he says to you this morning, friend, your sins, do you remember? Do you remember? Now here's the good news. One of my friends has said it like this, God is not disillusioned with you because he never had any illusions in the first place. He knows your whole story from the moment that you were born. In fact, even before you were born, right up until this moment in time, he's seen the whole show. He's heard every word. He's read every thought. He's seen every situation you've been in. And he says to you this morning, friend, your sins are forgiven. Your sins are forgiven. They're wiped out. They're covered. And I want to tell you this morning, whoever you are, whatever your history has been, whatever your story is, that no one has the right to say those words to you except the Lord Jesus. No priest, no pastor, no vicar, no one has the right to say to you, your sins are forgiven. Only Jesus can say that to you because only Jesus has done all that's necessary to make that a reality in your experience. That's why the cross, the crucifixion, stands front and center in the Christian faith. Because on the cross, the Son of God, he dealt with the whole thing. He dealt with the whole thing. Heard a story about a young man living in the United States of America some years ago. And one night he was sitting at home in his apartment watching TV when suddenly the door to his apartment burst open and into the room ran his younger brother. And his younger brother was wearing a blood-soaked shirt. So he said to his younger brother, what happened? And this guy had just been in a street fight and he'd knifed someone on the street. And in the distance, they could hear the sound of police sirens making their way to the scene. The elder brother realized he'd only got a few minutes before the police would arrive at the apartment as they traced the trail of blood because his brother had a wound. So he said to his kid brother, he said, take off your shirt. And he took off his shirt. The elder brother took off his shirt and he made them swap shirts. And just a few minutes later, the police burst into the apartment and they saw this elder brother wearing the blood-soaked shirt. So they immediately arrested him and took him away and they charged him with murder because the guy in the street had actually passed. He was put on trial, the elder brother, he was put on trial and he was found guilty of murder. And ultimately, some years later, was executed for a crime that he'd never committed. And what I want to say this morning, ladies and gentlemen, is this. 2,000 years ago, your elder brother said, it's my fault. He said, it's my fault. Blame me. I did it all. And actually, he didn't do any of it. He didn't do any of it. I did. You did. We were the ones who'd lived self-centered, rebellious lives against God. We were the people who'd messed up. We were the people who'd turned our backs on God. But on the cross, Jesus took it all. He took it all. Your elder brother took it for you so that you could go free, so that you could know what it is to be forgiven, for your shame to be taken away, for the guilt to be dealt with. And for you to have a brand new start. It sounds almost too good to be true, doesn't it? It sounds almost too good to be true. What can you do to rescue yourself? What can you do today to put yourself in a right relationship with this God that you've rebelled against? Answer, nothing. Nothing. That's why it's called salvation. There's nothing that you can do. He has done it all. He has done it all through his cross and through his glorious resurrection. Because not only did Jesus Christ die for you, this morning he lives for you. He lives for you. 3 days after Jesus was crucified, God, with his incredible, almighty power, said, that's enough. And he raised Jesus from the dead, smashing the power of death to pieces and make it possible for our lives to be changed forever. And that's the last thing that I want to mention to you this morning, because I want to invite you this morning to experience the power of Jesus changing your life. The Bible says this. Well, actually, it's the first thing I ever read in the Bible. Let me just tell you this as we conclude. I became a follower of Jesus on a Monday afternoon at 2 o'clock in May 1974. To me, it's as clear as that. For many people, they don't know exactly when it was, but for me, it was exactly then. I remember saying this big yes to God. Yes, God, I want to follow you. And it was amazing. It was what some people call a Damascus Road experience for me. It was night to day. It was astonishing. But I remember the next morning, Tuesday morning, sitting there at home with a Bible. The man who'd helped me to follow Jesus had given me a Bible. He was a minister, church minister. And I'd never read the Bible. I'd never been to church. I'd never been to Sunday school. I knew nothing about the Christian faith. And I'm sitting there with the Bible. So I said to God, I said, okay, God, apparently this is your book. And I don't know where to start. So I guess the best thing is if I just open it and read the first thing I lay my eyes on. So that's what I did. I opened it. Here's the first thing I ever read in the Bible. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. When someone becomes a Christian, it was in a version called the Good News Bible. When someone becomes a Christian, God makes them brand new. The old has gone. Everything has become new. And all this, it says, is from God. And I went, whoa! 17. I'm thinking, because actually that was right in line with what I was experiencing. I knew that was true. But I want to tell you, that's what God could do for you this morning. If you've never encountered Jesus, if you've never opened your life up to him and welcomed the living Lord Jesus into your life, maybe other people think you have. Do you know it's possible to go to church for years and years and years? It's possible to believe in God. It's possible to do all of that stuff, but never to have truly said that big yes to him. Let me ask you this morning, do you know God? Are you sure? You say, well, Gary, I believe in him, and I come to church and all. Listen, do you know him? Are you following Jesus? Are you sure about that? Because if not, the great news is you can this morning, and he can change you. He can change bad into good. You think to yourself, well, you know, I'm supposed to be a Christian, but I keep messing up. There's power in Jesus to transform your life. Yeah? There's power to change. He can do that for you. In this story, here is a man who comes into the presence of Jesus in a strange way. Most of us came horizontally this morning, didn't we? He came vertically. But he comes into the presence of Jesus depressed and horizontal. He was on his mat, yeah? By the end of the story, he leaves, it says, praising God and vertical. That's quite a change, isn't it? Depressed and horizontal, praising God and vertical. See? Brand new life, a total change. That's the business he's in. And you say, well, Gary, doesn't really apply to me because I've been following Jesus for years. How many of you know that God's always in the business of changing us from one degree of glory to another? Do you want the big word for that? It's called sanctification. I only know two big words: sanctification, delicatessen. Both lovely words. Okay. But God, listen. I was speaking somewhere a while ago, and the pastor of the church said to me when I arrived, he said, "Oh, Gary, before you speak, someone's going to give a testimony, share a story about their faith." I said, "Okay." So this guy stands up, late 30s, very suntanned and everything, you know, dressed really quite nice. And he said, his story was like this. He said, well, he said, before I was a Christian, I was living a wild life. I'd got loads of money, several businesses, clubbing all night, a woman on each arm, driving a top-of-the-range sports car, and just loads of money to spend and everything. And then I became a Christian. And it's really wonderful. Because now I come to church. And I pray. And read the Bible. Thank you. And he walked off. And I'm on next. I'm thinking, beat me up, Lord. Get me out of here. You know what I mean? Yes, listen, Jesus said, I've come so you can have life. So you can have life, not just existence. There are two words in the New Testament for life. One's called bios, one's called zoe. Bios is existence, biological, yeah? Just existence. Zoe is something different. It's effervescent, overflowing, amazing, remarkable. Here's the big word, scintillating. Woo! Life. That's what Jesus has for us. Isn't it? He wants to take us on this great adventure. And the adventure is there for you, whether you're starting that adventure this morning for the very first time, or whether you've been on that journey for a while and you just need a little bit of injection of some fresh Zoe, yeah, to do the business, to live the life of Jesus. But it's all there for you and me this morning, because the Lord's here. Jesus is here. If we were Church of England or Episcopalian, I would say, the Lord is with you. But it's true. He's with you. And he's in you. And he's on you. And he's wanting to do more than you could ever ask or imagine. And we can ask him for that this morning. Amen? Let's pray together. Let's pray. You don't have to close your eyes to pray, but I want to suggest we do that this morning if you can. Just close your eyes. Because I want you to imagine just for a moment that you and I were the only two people here in the church building right now. Now, of course, how difficult is that? There are people all around you. But I want to speak to you, and just imagine it was the two of us. Let me ask you this question, and let me ask you to answer it just in your own mind, in your own head, not out loud in any way. But the question is this: are you a Christian? I mean, really? Have you ever made that decision to give yourself away to the one who gave himself away for you when he was crucified? Have you ever really surrendered to Jesus and said that big yes? Yes, Lord, I'm yours. I'm going to follow you with everything that I have. Do you know what it is to be washed clean of all that rubbish, all that guilt, all of that sin, all of that shame? Are you sure about that? And if not, do you want to do that this morning? Do you want to do that with God? Do you want to say that big yes? Because he's ready for you. Here's the promise of Jesus: ask and you will receive. So very simply this morning, if you would seriously ask him, Lord Jesus, please come into my life. I welcome you into my life to change everything, the past, the present, the future. I welcome you. Then he'll answer your prayer because he promised he would, and he doesn't break his promises. So I'm going to pray a prayer right now that's very similar to the prayer that I prayed all those years ago. And if you feel that you can pray this prayer with me in your own heart, if you feel like you can echo these words to God after me, then I want to invite you to do that. I want to challenge you to do that this morning. So here we go. Here's the prayer. God, I come to you this morning, and I want to say that I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry for not walking with you. I'm so sorry for turning my back on you. Lord Jesus, thank you so much that you were willing to be crucified for me. Thank you for taking on the cross all that I deserve to take. Today, I choose to turn back to you, God. And I'm asking you, please, to come into my life. Pour your love into my heart. Pour your forgiveness into me and make me clean. And please give me your power to change. And as you do that for me, Lord, I will follow you all the days of my life. Thank you for hearing my prayer. And thank you for answering it. Amen. Amen. Folks, let's just stay with our eyes closed for a moment. Let's just stay in prayer. Because I believe that there are people here this morning in church, and you just prayed that prayer with me. Maybe for the very first time, some of you just knew that you had to renew something, seriously renew something with God that had lapsed to some degree. But I would like to pray for you right now from where I'm standing, if you prayed with me in those few moments, and ask God to really seal that which you've prayed in those few moments. I'm going to ask you to do something. Wherever you're seated in church this morning, if you prayed that prayer, simply a case of being honest with yourself and honest with God, I'm going to ask you in a moment to slip a hand high into the air as a way of saying to God, here I am. I prayed seriously and I meant it. I'm glad that I did. And then God will see what you're doing, and I will see from where I'm standing, and I'll know who I'm including in the prayer. Is that okay? So you may know something happened just as you prayed. You may not feel very much, but you know that you were serious about what you prayed, and that's the issue. So if you prayed that prayer with me a few moments ago, would you do that now? Raise a hand, say, God, here I am. Just as a way of saying, God, here I am, and I've prayed that prayer. So just keep your hands up for a moment, if you would. Thank you. Just look, I don't want to miss anybody, so just slip behind the air so I can see your hand. Thank you. Then I'll know who I'm praying for. God bless you. Okay, just take your hands down. Father, for each one of these men and women who are saying this big yes to you, I thank you for your promise, Lord. You've said you'll never leave them, you'll never let them down. And I pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, that in the days and weeks and months that lie ahead, they may grow closer and closer with you, and they may know your love and your goodness and your power more and more completely in their experience. Father, I'm asking it in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. 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 Open your eyes, folks. Well, that's wonderful. We've just seen the biggest miracle we're going to see this morning. People saying that big yes to God. And if you're one of the people who raised your hand before you leave this morning, I guess there's drinks afterwards, Gordon. I'm going to just be over here by this table right at the end of our service just for a minute. Just for a minute. And if you're one of the people who raised your hand, I want to give you an early Christmas present, if that's okay. A little booklet called The Big Welcome, A Chance to Discover. I wrote this with a friend of mine. It took ages, look. About 5 years ago. And it just describes what we've been talking about this morning. And I'd love to just give you one of those and shake your hand and say, well done. So come and get one of those off me, would you, before you leave this morning? We're going to worship. We're going to sing a song of worship. And as we begin to sing, as soon as the guys hit the first note, if you would like prayer for healing this morning, then I want to invite you to come down the front and somebody, one of us, will pray with you and ask the Lord to do what only He could do. Is that okay? Now, just to help this morning, come with anything that's causing you sickness or illness or infirmity, and we can pray. But in particular, there's someone here this morning, you've been suffering with a neck injury. I'm not sure what the nature of that is, but you've suffered a neck injury sometime in the last 3 months or so, and it's still causing you pain and discomfort. Somebody who's been a woman here this morning, and you've been suffering anxiety attacks, that's giving you pain in your chest and, you know, in fact, I think it's been leading to palpitations as well, linked in with all of that. I believe that the Lord wants to bring you peace this morning. And somebody else, you have a problem with your blood count in your blood. There's a problem with the blood count in some sense. And again, we want to give opportunity for the Lord to bring His healing to you this morning. Could be anything else. And, you might say, well, Gary, you didn't mention what's wrong with me. Come and have one on the house. That's fine. Okay, and somebody will pray for you this morning. Is that okay? Yeah. Don't wait until we've sung 54 songs. We'll be gone. Come straight away. If you need to sit, there's some seats at the front. Or if you stand at the front, someone will pray for you. God bless you. Let's stand. Let's worship. Let's pray.
Fish, yeah.